Tonight, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we'll look at verse number 10. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 10. Jesus is speaking, and in this passage of Scripture, he says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do." Now tonight I want to talk to you about our duty. And you know, as we think about that, and I want to have a word of prayer in a minute, but think about our duty to the Lord. I couldn't help but be thrilled at what Brother Johnny said tonight. And I thought about that as he was singing that song, because he couldn't always sing that song. But tonight he could sing that song, he could lead that song, and that song means something to him. You think about that. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. I mean, that is so great to think about. We're a child of the King as his sons, as his daughters. We thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity once again to be in your wonderful place, your house, the church of God. We pray that in this service tonight, you'll take your word, you'll minister to all of our hearts. We need to hear from you. We need to hear what you have for us. And I pray that it will be life-changing, not because of me as a preacher, but because of the message that you have for all of us. And I pray that we'll change our lives. I pray that we'll think about some things that we find in your word that can help us in the days ahead. We pray for our nation. We pray for our military. We pray for those leaders that we have, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and lives, and they might lead us in the right direction. And Lord, I pray that we'll always be friends with your chosen people, the Israelites. And I pray in this service tonight, if there's someone here without Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the day of salvation for them, if that would be please you and be according to your will. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the privilege that it is, for the fellowship we've enjoyed and the food and the services that we've had, the music that has gone out. And Lord, I can truly say tonight it is well with my soul, and I'm thankful for that. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins and fill me with your Spirit and give me liberty to say those things that you'd have to be said tonight in this time for this people. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it all. Amen. All right. Man's duty. You know, in the military, you have duty. And you have a rank and you have a job to do. And I was coming upstairs after lunch today, and all these children were playing. I think it was today or last night, I can't remember, but one of the two. And all the children were playing, and they all saw me come through, and they all looked. And so I had them stand at attention and salute. And they enjoyed that. The girls enjoyed that too. And so we were standing there, and we was talking about some of those things. But our duty really is to God Almighty. It's our duty is to Him as children of God. But I was in a conference recently, and I was given the topics of man's duty to self. Man's duty to self. And I want you to think about that just for a few moments. Now, if you think about duty to self, that could be a selfish statement. If you say, well, man's duty to self, is that selfish? But really, in reality, it is meant to deal with the idea of denying self and following the Lord. And so we have a duty before God about some things in our lives and in ourselves as we think about this. It is to get self out of the way for God's glory and the benefit of God and others. Our life is not to be wrapped up in ourselves. It is to be giving God glory and to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement and witness to others. The first part of this particular series of sermons, we deal with the fact of having a pure heart, a heart that is fixed on God. Now hold your place there in Luke chapter 17, but turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12 and verse number 13. Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So it's after Proverbs. And we go to the 12th chapter and we look at verse number 13. The Bible says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Now here's the conclusion when it's all said and done. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, I want you to dwell on that for just a moment, to think about the whole duty of man. The Bible says is to fear God. Now, that's not to be afraid of God, but that is to reverence God and hold him in high esteem, the highest esteem, to fear God and keep his commandments. And we find his commandments in the Word of God. It's not just the Ten Commandments, it's all the Word of God, and we're to keep this, and we're to abide by this, and this is to be what we live by and what we die by. And it says, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, as you think about duty, duty is responsibility. It holds us accountable. I remember when I had a job, and when I was just a young boy, I was going to mow grass, which I did, and I made quite a bit of money. And then one of the deacons in our church down in Arkansas hired me to work in his service station. Now, the first service station I worked in was a Phillips 66 service station. You got one right here close to the church. And I made the big salary. I got paid by the hour. And I made 35 cents an hour. And I was glad to get it. Then another deacon in the church saw me working there, and he said, I want you to come work for me. And he wanted me to work, and he was going to give me a raise, and he raised me to a whopping 50 cents an hour. And when I was a 14-year-old boy in the summertime, I would open that service station at 6 o'clock in the morning. I would close it at 6 o'clock in the evening. The deacon and the other man that worked there would come in later, and usually they would stay till closing. And I worked 60 hours a week as a 14-year-old boy. You know what I learned about? I learned about responsibility. I learned about earning what I was going to earn. I earned $30 a week for working at 60 hours. But at the end of the week, I was glad to get it. That's what I had said I would work for. That's what he offered me, and I wasn't going to turn it down. A lot of men in our town that worked in the rice fields and so forth and worked in the plants there, they were making like 50 bucks a week, you know, gross, and they weren't taking home that much. So that was a lot of money for a 14-year-old boy. But the things that I was taught, not only by my parents at home, but in the jobs that I had, it was responsibility. And it was a duty that I had. I couldn't just say, well, you know what? I don't think I'll get up this morning. I'll go in about 10 o'clock. No, the service station was supposed to open at 6, and I had to be there. And I'm thankful to God that I learned those things. Now, the thing about the serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord and living for the Lord is, it's our duty. Duty, obligation, our responsibility. But you know what? Most people take that very lightly. They just say, well, I get up when I get up. I go to church if nothing else is going on. You know, it won't hurt for me to be late. It won't hurt for me not to go sometimes. And just, but we have a responsibility as a child of God. We're a child of the King. And we ought to be there. And we ought to be in our place. And we ought to be serving God and living for God as He would have us to do. And so we have a duty. And the duty not only involves our duty to God, but our duty to ourselves, to get ourselves out of the way and quit thinking about what we want and thinking about what God wants for us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says this, for a long time I didn't see it like this. I just said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But you know what it says? It says, for to me. For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And that's the way it is, really. And my dad, before he died, he said, if y'all hadn't resuscitated me 5 years ago, I'd have been in heaven 5 years earlier. But he had 5 bypasses. He lived to be almost 88. But my dad, this was his motto, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The whole duty of man. Then we go back to Luke chapter 17, verse number 10. So likewise, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. The word self is used 6 times in the Bible. In John chapter 5, verse 30, it says this, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. Jesus Christ said that. I can of my own self do nothing. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Duty, any action necessary or appropriate to one's occupation or position. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now let's stop there for just a minute. It doesn't say give an account. It says we will give account of ourselves to God. And you say, well, I want to tell my side of what your side doesn't matter. We're going to give account of ourselves to God. God already knows. He's already got the book. He knows all about it. But we'll be before him and we will give account of ourselves to God. 1 Corinthians 11:28. The Bible says this, "But let a man examine others, the other members, the preacher, but let a man examine himself." And many years ago now, I guess it was, I preached several years in a row, and about once a year I would, other than the Lord's Supper, I would talk about this theme, "But let a man examine himself." And I would list things that we ought to examine ourselves about in our Christian life. And one Sunday, I guess about after I'd preached this message out in the vestibule of our church building, my dad was out there. He's the former pastor. And he says to the people out in the vestibule, and he was kidding, of course, but he said this, "Our preacher keeps preaching that message, and he keeps adding to that list. And I'm just not going to do everything that's on that list." That's what he said, former pastor. But he's kidding, of course. But as we think about our duty to self and getting self out of the way and denying self and taking up our cross and following Christ, I want us to look first of all at the fact of having a pure heart. Having a pure heart. If you would turn in the Bible to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now this message has three parts, but I'm going to preach one tonight. To have a pure heart, to have a pure mind, and to have a pure life. But tonight we're going to dwell on having a pure heart. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, here's what we read. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with an unwashed hands defileth not a man." So I want you to think about the heart tonight and what the heart really is when it says those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. You know what? The information that goes into us is what comes out of us. The information you put in a computer, that's what you receive out of a computer. And out of our mouth, because these things are in our heart, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man, they pollute the man, they dirty the man. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so forth." So I want you to think about that tonight. The heart, as we think about the heart, we're not talking about the vessel that pumps the blood. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the central, vital, or main part or core, the seat of emotions, the innermost part of a person. And let me say this to you tonight. That part of us as a Christian ought to be fixed on God. Our hearts ought to be fixed on the things of God. You know where we get in trouble? When they're not fixed on God. When God's not first in our life and all of those kind of things. Now the word pure, it means simply clean. It means free from anything that taints. Free from sin or guilt, blameless. That's what it means to be pure. Now you think about having a pure heart. You say, well, that's more difficult than it sounds. But in being a Christian, our goal is to be more like Christ and not less like Christ. You don't have to teach a child to lie, do you? These babies sometimes cry and there is nothing in the world wrong with them. But they want you to think there is because they want your attention, whatever. You don't have to teach a child to say, mine, that's mine. That's selfishness. But children learn that on their own. You don't have to teach them a sin. Sin is in our nature, all of our natures. Now in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, and verse number 8, and you won't have time to turn to all these scriptures, but the Bible says, but Daniel purposed. Now notice this. But Daniel purposed in his heart. You notice that? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now I mentioned the word defile. It means to make dirty or to be filthy or pollute. Whatever the king of the world had to offer, Daniel was a young man. And I want to tell you, when I study about Daniel, I just can't find much to criticize him about. In fact, I really can't find anything. He was a young man, he was in captivity, and yet Daniel purposed in his heart. What's the key here? He purposed. He planned ahead of time. He didn't wait till it happened to decide what he was going to do. He already purposed in himself as a young man. Listen, I'm not going to pollute myself. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to have that junk in my life, that sin in my life, and those things that would make my witness not what it ought to be for God. The Bible says that he purposed in his heart. He planned ahead of time. His heart, that he would not defile himself. Don't you wish all of our young people would say that today? You know, they tell me that in the Amish movement, and by the way, Amish believe that you work for salvation. Most groups of them believe that your work saves them. But they say that the Amish, at about 16, they turn their children loose out in the world and let them experience the world. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you turn your children loose out here if you knew that what was going to tear them up and destroy them and so forth? Would you turn them loose out there with the coyotes and the wolves and the skunks and all that? Would you turn them loose with that? Would you? No. I don't understand their thinking, really. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes when you have a church and you have a Christian school or you homeschool or whatever, people think, well, you're just sheltering your kids. When they get out there in the world, what's going to happen to them? Well, I want to tell you something. I hope they don't get out there in the world. I hope they don't have to experience those things. I hope that they're so strong in their beliefs and in their practices and in the Christian life and they purpose in their heart they're not going to defile themselves. I pray that they don't ever have to go out there and experience the things the world has to offer. Now tonight in this congregation, there's probably some of you that didn't live the Christian life all your life. And I'm talking about even as adults, you were not saved and you were out there in the world. My dad was like that and my uncles were like that. And they experienced the things of the world. And I remember one time somebody was talking about a testimony. And my brother-in-law, who was the principal of our school for 35 years, he was a Lawson too, by the way. And they mentioned to him about their testimony that they had been a drunk and they had committed adultery and they had all kinds of sin going on in their lives and gambling and everything else. And then the Lord saved them and changed their life. And what a great testimony that people would say that they had. And my brother-in-law was raised in a Christian home. His dad was a deacon. His dad and mother were our youth directors and all of those kind of things. And he never got out in the world, never experienced those things. So he says, I don't really have a testimony. And you know what my dad said? You're the one that has the testimony. God saved my dad out of those things. He saved my brother-in-law from those things. You know what? I thank God for that. I know in my life, there were times, listen, when I was playing sports many years ago in Arkansas, after every game, the older boys I played sports with on the teams, on the high school teams, they'd say, we were living in Carlisle, and it was a dry county. But Hayes and Lone Oak, both sides, some of you know that area, they were wet counties. So after the ball games, these boys would say to me, the older boys, they'd say, come on, we're going to go to Hayes and we're going to go to Lone Oak and we're going to get drunk. And I said, I can't go. Now I want to tell you something. It wasn't because I was a super Christian, but it was because I knew it was wrong. And I knew that if my parents found out, they'd beat the living daylights. I wouldn't be here tonight if I'd done those things. But you know what? God spared me from those things. And I grew up in the town where we are now and know a lot of the people over the years and we ran around together and all those kind of things in high school. And I said personally to the church, I said, if I had participated in some things that some of our church members have participated in the past, you wouldn't respect me as your pastor. Now I want to tell you, let me tell you the truth. Not because I'm a super Christian. Not because I'm better than them. Not because I deserve any better than them. But I just thank God that He spared me from those things. I thank God for that. And I won't tell you, young people, y'all thank God if you're spared from those things. You don't have to give in those things. Daniel didn't give. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Is it possible for us to have a heart that is pure? I believe that it is. I believe as we search the Word of God and as we study the Word of God and our heart, the Bible says in Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Have our hearts fixed on God. You know, from the time a person's saved, our heart ought to be fixed on God every day of our life. Everything that we do, everything that we say. My dad used to say, if you can do what you're doing and ask God to bless it, then you go ahead and do it. But a lot of things that so-called people and Christian people are doing today are not things that God would bless. They're a bad example. They're a bad testimony. And we live in a world today, even when preachers and deacons and church members and Sunday school teachers are doing all kinds of things that used to was preached against, and the world looked down on those things, and now church people are doing those kind of things. God help us today. God help us to keep on the firing line, to keep our hearts pure, and to purpose in our heart that we'll not defile ourselves, and to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. When we do that, we don't have room for that other stuff. Okay. Last night after church, some of us went down there and had some coffee. And we sat there and we laughed. We just had a good time. And these workers that were leaving, getting off work, we closed them down last night at 10 o'clock. And they were leaving and they were smiling. They saw us over there. And they heard us. And they heard us laughing and all those kind of things. Listen, you can have a good time as a Christian. I don't know, if I had more fun as a Christian, I don't think I could stand it. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it every day, and I'm around godly people, and godly people that are a good influence, and a good testimony, a good witness. Listen, that's the kind of people we need to be around, isn't it? Now, I know when you work in a shop, and you work different places, as you face these other people, I understand that. But I'm saying most of our lives ought to be being around the right kind of people, the right association, the right kind of influence in our lives. And God will bless us for that. Psalm 108 verse 1, it says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." My heart is fixed. It stayed. It remains on God. Thinking about the things of God. There are people in life that are great Christians, and they're great influences. And I've said this many places. My dad was a pastor and a preacher, but the greatest Christian that I've ever known in my life, the greatest Christian, is my mother. Now, she doesn't get the, you know, pats on the back, and, "Hey, how you doing?" and "God bless you," and "Hey, Sister Riddick, how are you?" No, she doesn't. Like my wife, she doesn't get that. But I want to tell you, my mother is, in fact, she's the greatest Christian I know. I'll just say it like that. And you know, sometimes we think when we get to heaven, it's all the preachers and pastors going to get the rewards. But I venture to say it'll be a lot of godly people that sat in the pews and were faithful to God. The longer I pastor, the more important it is to me to see the faithfulness of God's people. Every time the doors are open, every time the offering's given, every time the songs are sung, they're in their place and they're serving God. "Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." I want you to think about something for just a moment. I don't know how many people's here tonight. I don't know if there's 40 or 50 or whatever. But you notice when John or Brian or Jerry or whoever's leading singing, they call out the number and the piano starts. Man, you can hear a joyful noise to the Lord here in this place, can't you? And you know, I don't know if they can hear us out there or not. That doesn't really matter, I don't guess. But boy, it blesses my heart to see people that are not sitting there with a book going, "Amazing grace, how sweet." You know? I like to see people sing from their heart. And you know what? When it's in your heart, it'll come out. And people will know that. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Boy, they have a good heart. Boy, they have a kind heart. Boy, you know, just bragging on people." Well, God does that through us. Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Verse 8, it talks about his heart is established. How about it tonight with you? How is it with your heart? If you're not saved, then these things that we're talking about really can't affect you that much. But once you're saved and you begin to live for God and you want your life to shine for God, not that you'll get the honor and glory, but that God will. You know what? Paul said, I'm all things to all men that I might save some. And he was talking about being a witness to them. You're the greatest Christian that some people know. You say, well, preacher, if you really knew me, you know I'm not much of a Christian. But listen, to other people, you're the greatest Christian that they know. Your dads, you're the greatest man that your children know. Your mothers, you're the greatest woman that they know. There's a bond between children and their mother. There's also a bond between children and their dads. There's bond between children, parents and grandparents, I should say, and their grandchildren. My wife told me one time my oldest granddaughter had contacted me and she said, you need to call her. And I never thought about this. She said, but y'all have you have something special. My oldest granddaughter. And I want to tell you, I love her. And I would do anything in the world for her. Sometimes I'll say, Lauren, do you need some gas money for your car? And she said, Papa, I always need gas money. You know what I do? I give her money. My youngest granddaughter now is driving, Tori, Victoria. And I say, Tori, do you need some gas money? And she said, Papa, I always need gas money. I love those girls. I really do. I tell you, I would die for those girls. I would die for them. And in my life, I'm not just living for self. I want to live for the Lord. I want to live for my family. I want to live for my church family. But I also want to live for my grandchildren. If I live long enough to have great-grandchildren, I want to live before them. I want to set the right example. I want to have the right heart and the right spirit. I don't want to be defiled, and I don't want to be into the things of the world because I want to set the right example for my grandchildren. Now, that's something to think about. It's not just about us. It's about them also. Acts 13:22 says, He raised David unto them. David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. Listen to this. A man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. A David, the son of Jesse, the shepherd boy. A man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. How is your heart tonight? You know what? I can't answer for you. I can't see in your heart. I don't know what your fellowship is with the Lord. You tell me what your relationship is, and I have no reason to question that. But I don't know about your fellowship. I don't know about your closeness with the Lord. I don't know if you're cold or indifferent. I don't know that if things in the world have bothered you. I don't know if you're giving in to the pressures and the peer pressures of this world. I don't know that. But you know what God does, doesn't He? Wherever you work, they know you're a Christian. And if you step out of line, they'll let you know about it. And they may not even be a Christian, but they'll say to you, if you're a Christian, why are you doing that? Where we camp out there, I went out there, and my wife and I, and we bought a place, and little place, and I went out there, and I didn't tell them I was a preacher. I just went out there as a camper. And yet, people began to watch us, and people began to find out that I was a preacher. And the word spread, and they said, he's a preacher, watch it. Watch what you say, watch what you do, watch what you offer him. They've offered us raffle tickets, they've offered to get us in the poker run, they've offered to get us at the dance and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Other people stop them now. And they say, don't ask them. They're not going to do it. They don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't smoke, they don't gamble, they don't go to movies. The only bad thing they do is drink coffee. That's the only bad thing I can find. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you are, whatever vocation you're in, wherever you live, whatever you're doing, people know who you are. They know you on the job. They know you go to church. They know what church you're a member of. And you know what I tell our people? Every member of this church represents Independence Baptist Church. You know that? And everybody that knows you're a member of this church, whatever you do, they judge the church by what you do. Now that's serious business. It's serious business because we represent God, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we represent the Lord's church. And the Bible says that the Lord loved His church and gave Himself for it. He not only died for the sinner, He died for the church. He gave His precious blood for the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And as members, you all represent the Lord, and you represent this church. And let me tell you, that world out there knows about that. They know where you're a member, they know who the pastor is, they know you folks, and they know what you do. And I want to tell you something. It's a serious, serious thing when our hearts are not right with God and we're not living for God and we're not being the example that we ought to be. It's a very serious thing in the eyes of God. You say, well, other churches are doing it, other people are doing it, and other Christians, it really doesn't matter. We can't help that. But we can help what we do and whether or not our heart is fixed on God. I want you to think about that duty. That's a duty. That's a responsibility. That's an obligation that all of us have. When we became adopted, when we were adopted, we can't get out of this army. We're in it till we die. Aren't we?
Amen.
And then we're in glory with the Lord forever. Is your heart fixed on God? Is your heart right with God? Do you think about the things of the Lord, or do you just think about yourself? Do you think about, am I pleasing God? Or do you just think about, I have a right to be happy and I don't have to do all those things they're doing and I can still be a Christian? That's a sad testimony, isn't it? Well, I can do that and it won't hurt anybody. Yes, it will. You know what? People find out, don't they? You know, children, sometimes they think they can get by. When we were at home, my brother and I, we slept upstairs and I was older and I had a curfew of 11 o'clock. And if I would come in 5 minutes late, I'd go in the front door and the parents slept in the back. And I could go in the front door, not the back door, and I could sneak up the steps and get in bed 5 minutes late. I'd get up the next morning. My dad said, "You came in late last night, didn't you?" My mother would get up, "You came in late last night. You're going to pay for that, boy," something like that. But I could come in early. And I could come in the back door, which was closer to the bedroom. And I could go in the refrigerator. And I could make all kinds of noise. And the next morning, I had no idea, they said, what time I came in. You think you're getting by with things in your life and hiding it from God? You can't hide it from your friends. You can't hide it from your family. Needless to say, we can't hide it from God. And I will tell you this in closing. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day, doesn't it? All the saved people here tonight would recommend it to you. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. Duty to self. Have a pure heart. Have a pure heart. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for the people that have come. And I don't know their hearts. You do. And you know what they're dealing with. You know what they're going through. And you know maybe perhaps you do know where we've all failed you. And I pray tonight that you would show us and that we would be responsive to the things that you show us in our lives and in our hearts. That we might be the Christian that you'd have us to be. That we might be the example that you would have us to be. The witness that you would have us to be. It's a serious business, I know. And when I look around me tonight and I see some that are lost, I realize how serious our job is and how responsible that we ought to be and how we ought to purpose in our heart that we'll not defile ourselves with the world's meat and drink and all of those kind of things. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us would be found faithful in your service, serving you and giving our best for the Master. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Brother Reynolds. 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 Brother Reynolds.